May it please the court, my name is William Benjamin, attorney for the appellant Taryn Hart. My registration number is 3140. The issue in this case is whether the Industrial Claim Appeals Office erred in finding that Mr. Hart's statement to his supervisor, quote, "you really screwed me," unquote, was rude, insolent, or offensive behavior sufficient to disqualify him from unemployment insurance benefits under Section 873-108-5E-14. Since this court's 1995 decision in Davis versus Industrial Claim Appeals Office, the panel has been required to use an objective standard in determining entitlement under this statute. And as stated in Davis, in assessing the reasonableness of an employer's termination of an employee for behavior implicating this statute, the panel must consider the facts and circumstances of the individual case to determine in the exercise of its independent judgment whether a reasonable person in the position of a customer, supervisor, or fellow worker would have considered the employee's behavior to have been rude, insolent, or offensive, such as not reasonably to be countenanced. Now, the Davis case is illustrative because the employee in that case used a remark with a four-letter word obscenity to a security guard at Storage Technology. While the security guard and Davis's own supervisor apparently did not consider this remark to be sufficiently offensive to seek Davis's termination, a visitor in the lobby who overheard this wrote a letter to the chief executive officer complaining about it, and that eventually led to Davis's dismissal. As a result, the Davis court upheld the hearing officer's determination that Davis's conduct and language were offensive because it obviously offended the visitor in the lobby. In the support of its own decision, the Davis case cited Allsgard versus Industrial Commission, which was a Supreme Court case decided in 1976. And the employer also relies on that case in its brief. Now, while Allsgard did not use profanity to be terminated, he did tell the owner of his company twice that if he did not get paid for sick days in the future, he was, quote, "going to puke in the owner's face the next time he got sick," unquote. After Allsgard said this the second time, the owner's son terminated Allsgard, and the Supreme Court upheld this decision as being supported by competent and substantial evidence that this was offensive behavior. But in its decision, the Supreme Court specifically noted that the owner was, quote, "elderly and in poor health," unquote, which were circumstances that that court apparently considered in reaching its decision.
Doesn't that essentially say that it's appropriate then, in looking at the subjective standard, for the hearing officer and the panel to look at the circumstances and the context in which a particular statement is made? Isn't that what you can glean from that case?
Well, the Supreme Court stated that because the owner was elderly and poor health, that had some effect on that observation or perception that Allsgard was being rude and offensive. But in any event, it's plain that the owner's son considered that comment to be offensive, and that's why the son terminated the claimant in that case. So I would submit that in both those cases, there were circumstances that supported a finding that specific words caused either a customer and a supervisor to consider them to be rude, insolent, or offensive. and thus met the objective standard in Davis. And I'd like to contrast that with the present case, which I submit did not show that there were any specific complaints by either the supervisor or the co-employee who heard Mr. Hart's comment that they expressed at the hearing. In fact, as the hearing officer noted, much worse language was often used in the same workplace. Despite that, the hearing officer did not cite any evidence that the persons who heard his comment, Mr. Hart's comment, were themselves upset or shocked or otherwise dismayed by Mr. Hart's statement.
Is that surprising if the test is objective rather than subjective? I mean, as I understand it, under an objective test, you don't really need to and indeed maybe can't look at how the particular individuals reacted to that language. Am I wrong about that?
Well, then I would submit that you have to look at the actual language. And that's our issue, that Hart's use of the word screwed instead of more explicit words should not have been raised to the level of rude, insolent, or offensive language, as most other cases in this area use much more explicit language, if not profane language.
Are you saying that the offensiveness of the language, the words themselves, if they become more and more vulgar, that is the only test, or that is a significant part of the test, that under those circumstances, you can use words that are totally inoffensive by themselves, right?
Right.
Something even milder than screwed, right? But if in those circumstances, let me suggest some words like, you're a fool, you're incompetent, you know, things like that, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. Under certain circumstances, that could be insolent, considered insolent and offensive. It's not the character of the specific word, right?
Well, no, but I would submit that the somewhat inoffensive character of screwed, combined with the hearing officer's own subjective opinion that was offensive, was what should have not been resulting in Mr. Hart's termination.
But don't you think it's significant that this occurred just after he was disciplined? I mean, he was disciplined, mm-hmm. And immediately following that, this incident happens, right?
Yes, correct.
Do you agree that that's significant, those circumstances?
Well, certainly if Mr. Hart had not been disciplined and he had made that same comment, I'm sure he would not have been terminated and would not be trying to get his unemployment benefits. But those are the circumstances, you're correct, around which this statement was made.
Isn't that how you look at whether, and it's not, the language of the statute doesn't talk about words, it talks about behavior. Mm-hmm. So isn't that how you get at this objective test? You have to look at all these circumstances? Because not only had he just been disciplined, he'd been disciplined for behavior similar to this.
Well, I'm not sure why he was disciplined. I don't think that was...
I thought there was something in the record about he had been kind of rude and hostile to his supervisor and coworkers.
But there wasn't anything explicit about what had happened, I guess, is my point here. And certainly that had to do with why he was probably terminated, because this was a second incident that brought this to the attention of the branch manager who did the termination. But certainly the branch manager himself was not present and was not aware of the language until he was informed of it by the supervisor who had originally referred Mr. Hart to the branch manager for discipline. So, in any event, I'm simply suggesting that because there was no evidence of anybody's outrage or disparagement about this conduct, that Mr. Hart should have been granted benefits instead of denied benefits by the persons who, by the hearing officer and by the Industrial Claim Appeals Office.
Mr. Benjamin, are you saying that we should apply a standard other than an objective standard? Should it be, are you arguing for a change of standard to a subjective standard?
Well, no, I'm saying that the hearing officer was the one that had a subjective standard that he believed screwed in this context was rude and offensive, as opposed to what the actual witnesses at the hearing said or indicated.
Isn't that the hearing officer's job? The hearing officer is supposed to make findings of fact, and he believed what certain evidence was. And so is that really using a subjective standard, or is that just doing what his job is?
Well, I'm sure that's what his job is, but on the other hand, I would submit that at some point language becomes de minimis, below which even a hearing officer cannot find rude and offensive behavior. And I would suggest that in this context, that's what we have.
Thank you, Mr. Benjamin. You've got about 3 minutes and 20 seconds for rebuttal.
Very well. Thank you.
And Ms. Hill, while you're on your way to the podium, let me just clarify the record following up on Judge Terry's question about whether you had been admitted pro hoc vice, and the record establishes that you have. But we also had a motion prior to oral argument from your local counsel asking that he be excused from attendance, and that motion was granted. So
yes,
we understand that you're the person on the spot today.
I sure am, Your Honor. And the motion pro hoc for special admission was granted July 21st, 2011. I'm sorry I didn't have the date handy when you asked the question.
Thank you.
Patricia Hill, on behalf of Sunbelt Rentals, and as we discussed earlier, by special admission to this court. The Industrial Claim Appeals Panel decision was conclusive because the findings of fact supported it, and the decision was not erroneous as a matter of law. The record shows a couple of warnings that Mr. Hart had received. August 31st, 2010, there was a written warning for using profanity in front of a customer. He claimed that he had he was simply using trucker's language. He was a driver for Sunbelt Rentals. However, the day in question that the hearing officer received testimony on, September 16th, he was suspended for 2 days because he had used what was referred to in the disciplinary notice and used in the record, unprofessional language to his direct supervisor, Mr. Steverson. Now, as was pointed out earlier, after he was disciplined in the Profit Center manager's office, Mr. Zachman's office, he walked past his supervisor, Mr. Steverson, and said very clearly, "You really screwed me." And it's based on that that after his suspension for 2 days was over and the weekend had passed, September 20th, he was terminated. The hearing officer and the panel held that such language would not be countenanced by reasonable people, even if the rude language was common in the workplace or the manager had used it. In the brief that is before this court from Mr. Hart, he misstates the decisions of the hearing officer and the panel by arguing that he was terminated solely, and that's a quote from the brief, because of saying "you really screwed me." However, if you look at the decisions from both the hearing officer and the panel, they both referred to the earlier disciplinary measure that had been taken and the fact that he had walked out of the office, walked past his supervisor, and made that statement. Several, two other employees had heard the statement also. Only Mr. Hart testified that the rude or unprofessional language that he had used was commonplace. However, he never testified that the F word, as he used in his testimony during the hearing, or other rude language, was used to a supervisor after a disciplinary meeting. One can make the argument that Mr. Hart just did not get it. He had been disciplined for using unprofessional, rude language, and again, he used it. Sometimes said that water hitting a rock makes an impression. However, Mr. Hart did not get the impression properly from his earlier discipline. Mr. Hart argues that the hearing officer and the panel didn't consider the type of business that Sunbelt was in. But it did. They clearly indicated in several places that the type of business it was, and that it did not condone the type of language, the type of behavior that was used by Mr. Hart. The Davis decision that was referred to in the both of the briefs and in the argument by Mr. Hart's attorney involved a security guard who also had a previous warning. And in the Osgard matter, again, this was a situation that the son of the owner of the business had looked at the entire context of what had happened, and objectively, one could argue, he made the decision that this gentleman had to be terminated. If you look at the total circumstances that were presented to the hearing officer and to the panel, it's clear that they found an objective finding. They looked at what he said, where he said it, to whom it was said, and the existence of the previous warning involving rude and insolent language to this exact same supervisor, and they held that he was not entitled to the benefits under unemployment compensation. So as the record and the briefs clearly demonstrate, the findings of fact support the decision made by the panel, made by the hearing officer, and the decision was not erroneous as a matter of law. Any other questions? Thank you.
Counsel? Benjamin, if you want it or need it, you got a little over 3 minutes for rebuttal.
I have nothing further.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel for your arguments. The matter will stand submitted, and opinion will issue in due course.